She's a revered guitarist and songwriter, and at just 34, Neely Brosh has a lot to say, albeit without words. Her latest singles, Lavender Mountains and Song of Hope, are beautiful poetic melodies that make you feel happy, calm, and just what the latter name suggests, hopeful. Whether it's playing the iconic theme from The Simpsons with Danny Elfman, Michael Jackson's Beat It at Cirque, yes, she does that too, or banging out those fast metal riffs with Death Clock. This eclectic musician is definitely one to watch. This is a Life Minute with Neely Brosh.
Hey, this is Neely Brosh, and you are listening to Life Minute TV. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, of course.
So cool. How are you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing well. So congratulations with everything you have going on.
Thank you.
You have new music out tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So
Wednesday.
Tell us about it.
Yes, I have two new singles coming out back to back. One is called Song for Hope, and the next is called Lavender Mountains. And the whole idea behind releasing them back to back is I felt they should be heard as such, one after the other. They will likely follow that way in a future album, but I wanted to make sure that everybody has access to the music early. So I just decided to release them that way. So you hear it the way it's perceived. And then Lavender Mountains also has a music video, and that's coming out as well on Wednesday. I'm going to have a YouTube little premiere for both at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Awesome. Yeah. So cool. And they're beautiful, too. Really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
So take us back a bit for those that don't know. Like, how did you get into this? When did you know you wanted to be a musician? And how did it all start for you?
So I come from a music-loving family. I'm the youngest of four, and I have older brothers that were always into rock and roll and music that preceded my my era and upbringing, you know. So I grew up with a lot of Queen and Pink Floyd and things like that in the, around the house. And my brother Ethan, who's a guitar player, inspired me to play. I always wanted to be like him, and through him, I discovered Nuno Bettencourt, and that kind of took me the rest of the way. And I started practicing as a young high schooler, let's say, you know, seriously practicing, and the rest kind of went from there, you know?
Yeah, so cool.
Thanks, yeah.
You just do instrumental.
I mean, as far as the stuff that I've written, yeah, it's been all instrumental so far.
Which is pretty unique.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess I've just felt like I'm not a vocalist, but I still want to have a voice and melodies and stuff like that. I'll just do it through my instrument voice, you know.
Will there ever be, like, how come you're not a singer? You can't sing? Or
I mean, you know, I have now sung live with Danny Elfman and done things that I never thought that I would ever be asked to do, or, you know, pull the trigger on or anything. And I do like it. I always enjoy singing, and it is a big part of how I take in music and process it and stuff. I definitely feel the value in that. I just never thought of myself as a singer performer type of person. So again, it doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. A lot of the stuff that I've written, I perceive as vocal music, or, you know, to me, they could be vocal melodies. But again, it's just, I just didn't sing them. So that's not to say that everything I'll ever write will be that way, right?
Right. So. And what gravitated you to the guitar?
Well, again, I guess my brother at the earliest years, he made it cool. I wanted to be like him.
Did you take lessons, or did he teach you a bit, or were you self-taught, or a little bit of both?
Kind of everything. I mean, I've had so many teachers to give credit to, you know, and of course, being around my brother, I've picked up things, but I've had so many formal teachers throughout my life. So yeah, definitely. I guess I can't call myself self-taught. I've had very, like I said, a lot of teachers.
And then how did you get hooked up with Danny Elfman? How did that come to be?
That was the most random thing. So a composer named Mikael Hurwitz, who went to school with my brother, recommended me to his studio manager, Melissa McGregor, and she ended up giving me a call out of nowhere where I didn't pick up the phone because I didn't know the number, and I said, "Oh, if it's a gig, they'll leave a message." And then my very next thought was, "It's never a gig." And then 10 minutes later, I listened to the voicemail, and I was like, "What?" And the audition process went on from there, and yeah, it all went well, thankfully. But I definitely was never ever ever it was pretty much the last thing I would have ever imagined. Yeah.
And the Simpsons song, that's
Yeah.
cool. When I saw that, I like started laughing. It's like, you
Yeah.
don't think of it until you like see it. I'm like, oh my God, oh yeah, that guitar riff.
I know. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It wasn't a guitar riff, you know what I mean? And that wasn't even like the original plan for us to even play it like that. It just happened somewhere along the journey and didn't get cut, I guess. It's crazy.
It's so cool. And then tell us about Cirque too. Like, tell us all about that. That's also like so neat.
Yeah, so I do a Cirque du Soleil show, their Michael Jackson one show, and I did that full time for a long time, 10 show a week grind, which is, feels like it's got an expiration date, especially for a musician. But now I'm in the very lucky situation where I can go and fill in every couple of weeks since I live here and I'm still around. And the Shirin Shivashi, who's doing the full-time thing, she needs a break every once in a while. I know I did. And so I'm really happy to be in the position to be able to do that. So I do around four shows a month if I'm home, and it's great. I love the show. I love the community over there. It's been wonderful. And this is just kind of seriously the best of all worlds because I can't believe I get to go and do all my other stuff and then still come and say hi to my friends and help out a little. So I love it.
And tell us more about your new songs.
So, both of these, I guess, are theoretically in some way pandemic tunes. That's when they were written, and Song for Hope with the title kind of reflects the need for optimism that I was trying to find through that music, I guess, when I was writing it. Didn't seem like something that sounds uplifting would have come from a dark time, but I guess, I don't know. It just came out. And again, that's why I kind of felt like one came after the other, because it becomes more uplifting with Lavender Mountains and the inspiration of the desert, and again, all the things that are reflected in the music video and the title. So yeah, it's an auditory representation of all that stuff, and hopefully that will convey.
It does. They're beautiful, and
Thank
they do
you.
sound hopeful.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I can't
Yeah.
wait to see the videos. I haven't seen them
Thank you.
yet.
Yeah, it's cool. It again, a visual representation of the Lavender Mountains all around me. So very happy about that.
Were you
Excited.
where were you when you thought of like
Out in the dry lake bed outside of Las Vegas.
who did you work with to do the videos?
So his name is Alec Clausen, and he goes by Anomaly Films, and he's actually he I met him at when he was a dancer at the Cirque show that I was in, and we had started collaborating since my first music video. I've done a couple with him, and he's very, very creative and always comes up with some really cool over the top concept and really executes it well. So I'm so blessed that that's the visuals that are going along with my music. I'm really excited for everyone to see it.
Awesome. And then you play too, Deathlock. Are you still doing that? Do you still play with Dan? Tell us
So
about that.
Deathlock is actually going on a very long tour later on this year with Baby Metal, and Jason Richardson is opening, and we're going all across the states to support the Metalocalypse movie that's coming out, and new album, and all this other great stuff. So it's gonna be a party for sure. All across the states. It's gonna be amazing.
And then what about with Danny?
So what we do is I mean, technically there's no Oingo Boingo anymore, but the shows are under Danny's name, and we do play a
Okay.
lot of old Oingo Boingo songs
All
that
right.
we've kind of we call it Big Messified, because that's the name of the new album that is a lot more heavy and alternative and that kind of thing. And so the fans have nicknamed it that. That's the treatment that the old Boingo songs get, is that they've been big messified and they've made all heavy and been influenced by us new players and all that.
Cool.
So there is a lot of that in the set, and it's a really varied set. It's got film scores, it's got old stuff, it's got new stuff. It's a really good combination of things. And we did announce two shows in early August in San Diego and Irvine. So that's coming up as well. Gonna be a
Awesome.
busy summer. Yeah.
It's so neat that you're so eclectic, I think, you know?
Thank you. That's been the goal, to be versatile enough
Yeah.
to be with a bunch of different, because I get bored doing the same thing, and I like a lot of different kinds of music and different kinds of people, and it's wonderful to, just
Awesome.
have buds,
Yeah, for
musical
sure.
buds.
You mentioned Queen and Pink Floyd. Who are some of your other influences? And what are some artists you like today? Like who are some guitarists that you think are amazing right now?
So, Nuno Bettencourt is probably my biggest influence, and that actually falls, with the timing of these releases, it actually really falls in the current question too. And it's actually come up in previous interviews, but the new Extreme stuff is so incredible. And as a fan, and as someone who, that's my favorite band, that's the stuff I grew up on, that's what got me to playing guitar. It's personally, I'm so happy that it's them nowadays, because with Eddie being gone, and we've lost, and Jeff Beck, and we've lost so many icons, to think that my favorite guy is the one carrying the torch. I mean, I never would have, like, as a kid, I was always just like so worried that I missed the boat on that, and that I would never see them get back together, perform that music and all that kind of stuff. And so to think that in my generation, that's what's going on, like, that makes me happier than anything.
That's so cool. How old are
Yeah.
you?
I am 34. But
Amazing.
I feel like I did miss that, I was a tiny little kid when they were popular. So I was that 12-year-old in the year 2000 that was like, "How do you know this band? Why do you care?" Like,
I do
so
feel like Extreme, I feel like they never got their due, you know? Like they
I
were so
know,
big
because
then and
it's easy to pigeonhole, et cetera, more than words, all the same reasons that everybody's always talked about. But it's becoming almost easier to see it looking back when everybody's kind of thinking about it now. And there's certain performances that people forget about, I think, like the Freddie Mercury tribute concert. That was just such an incredible, I mean, Wembley Stadium, insane tribute performance. And they did stuff like that, and you're right. It's like, that's credit due that people so often forget about, but I think it's coming back.
Yeah, 80s and 90s are coming back, so maybe Does Nuno know, like, have you ever played with them before or him before?
He's been wonderfully supportive and kind, like we've connected through the internet and stuff, and he's been awesome.
Cool. Who are somebody like someone you want to collab with that you haven't yet?
I mean, there's plenty, but Devin Townsend would be amazing, and Steve Lukather would be amazing, and there's so many people of different, talents and skill sets and genres and things that would be amazing. So I don't know, it's hard to narrow it down.
What's next for you? What's something you want to do that, what do you think's gonna come next?
I hope to have more time to devote to this next record and to my music, and there'll probably be more of that coming next year. But nothing against what I've got coming up, because I love it so much. Both Danny and Death Clock are camps that are very special to me and close to my heart, and to get to do that as much as possible is definitely what I've waited a long time to do. So no complaints here, and I'm all about just seeing how it unfolds and living this next year.
Good for you. What do you
Thanks.
want people to take away when they listen to your music?
Hopefully they'll remember the melodies. That would be the ideal. If they come away humming the stuff, that's the
Will.
hope.
And what do you think music does for people?
I think it helps them survive. I don't know. It keeps them alive, keeps us moving. I think it's just like more essential than we maybe say.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's neat that you're a woman also, because there aren't that many, rocking women that play guitar like this. And so good for you.
There's a lot of them now. There's a lot of great females out there working and kicking ass, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on everything that's going on. You're
Thank
awesome.
you. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.